So this is what the future looks like, huh?
What we are doing here is we show you a possible solution of how we are considering the new and emerging user needs for future car concepts.
Ever wondered what it's like to ride in a self-driving car? I did. But since they are not exactly a dime a dozen yet, I asked Tobias of German car supplier Bosch to take me on a little test drive at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas.
It's Friday afternoon and you're on your way to your cabin. Now that before driving or start driving, you can see here we have our surround view feature active in the center display, which means with the help of the cameras which are installed around the car, we get the view. What's the situation around the car? Are there any pedestrians? Are there any obstacles before we start driving? We have a driver monitoring camera system integrated in the car, so you cannot see it, but it takes care of you. So it sees about your driver state, whether you're drowsy or not.
Okay, so I'm sitting here next to Tobias, and there is no roof over the car, but I'm seeing a lot of monitors right in front of me, and then I see two, each one to the left, one to the right, and those are the rear view mirrors, right?
Right, that's what we call our rear mirror replacement system.
So no rear view mirrors, but more cameras, more displays. I'm a bit overwhelmed. Now we're on the Landstraße, farm to market, FM, like they say in the US, right? And we're accelerating. We're at 70 kilometers an hour now, and the car is driving by itself, or is it?
Not quite. I was still in control, hypothetically, of course. But as all major car makers are working on autonomous vehicles, it's just a matter of time until self-driving becomes ubiquitous. US brand Ford is no exception. Here's CEO Mark Fields.
Our intent is to have a fully autonomous level 4 vehicle where the passenger doesn't need to take control at any time by 2021 in a ride-hailing or ride-sharing service.
There you have it. I have 4 short years to get used to this technology. I guess it's a good thing I'm starting now. So, back to my training.
What I would like to show you is how to make use of that to access the media player.
Back to gaze interaction, lifting my hand. Oop, okay, that didn't quite work. Thanks for the help. And now I need to go to the middle. Okay, and now I'm seeing a music button and I'm doing the same thing, the grab gesture or making a fist. And that worked. And on the other display, I'm looking at album covers.
In the center display, you now have the overview of your pre-selected music based on your profile. With the help of this, what we call our mood wheel, you can see here different dimensions of moods and music style listed. And here you can easily define your favorite style while driving.
So this is great because I always listen to music based on the mood I'm in.
Now you can easily switch between them by gesture.
Yeah, that works. Okay, so if I move my index finger to the right, then the album changes. Okay, I want... Okay. Arch Enemy. Okay. Not exactly happy. I would say it's a bit more on the aggressive side, but okay, so we just turn down the volume. Otherwise, we'll get into a car wreck, but okay, but that worked.
It's a haptic feedback, so that means we can adjust different patterns for feedback, and when you move your finger over these buttons of that display, you can feel the texture of these buttons, you can feel where the buttons are. You know, when you're operating with touch screens, often you have to look twice to them. First, you have to check where's the button that I want to activate, and once you've activated, if you touch it again, you have to check whether it's active or not. And with the help of this haptic feedback, you can feel where the buttons are, and once you operate them, you get a kind of confirmation by a certain click.
So you're saying that each button has a different texture to it?
That's possible. In this example, we have only a few patterns integrated, but we are using also the force level as an input channel. So for example, when you put your finger on a button and you make a selection, you get an highlighted information, and if you press a little stronger, with that you can then activate without having an additional
button. Different layers of
force.
How far force, yeah.
Right, so you don't need another button for confirmation, and you can keep your finger where it is, you don't need to replace it, and you don't need to look at this again. That's one approach also to reduce driver distraction.
So the more information I provide about myself, the more convenient and seamless the experience. But that means that a whole lot of different apps and third-party companies will have access to my data. Who will monitor this, and who will be held accountable if sensitive information will fall into the wrong hands?
When you are connected, you have already seen so many reports in the news, how anyone can hack into a network and misuse the network. And I think security will play a key role for Bosch in overcoming the challenges of the future.
That was Prashant Haladi, who works at Bosch Center of Competence for Human-Machine Interaction. Frankly, his answer didn't ease my concerns. I guess it's a trade-off, privacy in exchange for more comfort and safety. If only I could have both. But back to the road, it's time to let the autonomous car do what it does best, driving by itself.
We are now approaching the highway.
Ah, okay, German Autobahn. So I got both hands on the steering wheel. I have now given up control and the car is now driving by itself. I don't know how I feel about this.
You make an explicit command to the car by putting both thumbs on these dedicated controls. And after 3 seconds, you gave control, and it's highlighted in the head-up display. You see the A mentioned there. The ambient light has changed in the car to communicate. We are now in automated mode.
And now my fate is in the hands of a intelligent algorithm. Okay, I'm folding the steering wheel, or what's left of it.
So the seats move back, and now we have more space to feel free.
I'm sitting in a so-called Level 4 autonomous vehicle, the fourth of five official classification levels. Level 4 means a vehicle doesn't need any human attention or interaction to control it, except in a few environments, such as severe weather. So I could text or call friends without actually endangering any other road user. And that's a good thing. According to a Bosch study, up to 11,000 lives could be saved per year in the US alone. But is it possible that the car doesn't know what to do in a given situation?
What would happen if there's a takeover request by the car? So since you just read a book, for example, and you read something about mid-age, you're not in the condition to take back control, what's happening there is what you see is a kind of escalation of warnings. So you were brought back into the driving position, the steering wheel was unfolded, you see the ambient light in red, you see the announcement, and there's a countdown for you to take back control. But if you're not feeling well, if you don't want to take over because of whatever reasons, the car has a strategy. That's what we call the safe mode. It checks where it could park, for example. There's a parking area nearby. It could also stop at the shoulder. And that's what we are doing right now. In automated mode, it can reach this parking area. It will park there and wait till you are in the condition to take back control and continue driving manually.
So bottom line is, even if I don't take back control, the car will be capable of stopping in a secure manner without endangering me.
Catching a glimpse of the future of driving was dazzling and disconcerting at the same time. I guess at the end of the day, you cannot escape an idea whose time has come. But maintaining your own autonomy can't hurt. Even, or maybe especially, in the age of self-driving cars.